Good morning and welcome to Simply Finance. It's Friday, April 19th. On today's show, finance firms are urging ambitious action on plastic pollution, and we'll discuss the 6 rules that dividend stock investors should not ignore. Plus, city finance officials are discussing the $302 million financing plan for the Elk Grove Zoo. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Finance. We start off with news from the financial sector, where a group of 160 companies is urging governments to agree on a treaty to end plastic pollution ahead of the next round of global talks in Canada. The goal is to spur more private sector action on this critical environmental issue. For more on this, we turn to our correspondent. So what exactly are these financial firms calling for in this proposed treaty?
The finance companies want to see a policy framework backed by binding rules to help curtail the estimated 400 million metric tons of plastic waste produced globally every year. Microplastics are now found everywhere in the environment, from remote mountains to the food supply and even human blood. So tackling this issue is crucial for protecting biodiversity. The firms have several specific recommendations for the treaty.
And what are some of those key recommendations being put forward?
One is to set an objective for all public and private finance to be consistent with the goal of eliminating plastic pollution, similar to provisions in the Paris Climate Agreement. They also want companies to assess and disclose plastic-related risks and opportunities. Governments should set clearer policies and targets around areas like waste creation and recycling. And the firms want to see more private investment directed toward ending the plastic pollution problem.
How are NGOs and other stakeholders reacting to this call to action from the financial sector?
Groups focused on this issue are welcoming the support from financial companies. But some, like Plastic Collective, which helped design the world's first plastic waste reduction bond, say business needs to step up with more tangible financial solutions as well. Earlier this year, the World Bank issued a $100 million bond to finance plastic reduction projects in Ghana and Indonesia, where investors are paid a rate linked to the plastic removal credits those projects generate. So we're starting to see some innovative financial mechanisms, but many believe much more is needed to really move the needle on plastic pollution.
The next round of treaty talks is set to begin next week in Ottawa, with the goal of laying the groundwork for a final agreement by the end of the year. It will be interesting to see how governments respond to this push from the financial sector for strong, binding action on plastic waste. On the topic of financial strategies, dividend investing is often looked at by investors and financial planners as a way to build a steady stream of income from investments. Investing a part of the equity portfolio into stocks that offer good yields could offset volatility in the asset price. But investors must understand how the dividend strategy works. If you are hunting for high dividend yielders, keep some key parameters in mind. Here to discuss this further is our Simply Finance correspondent. So what's the first thing dividend investors need to be aware of?
One of the most important things to keep in mind is to not ignore valuations when picking dividend stocks. Many investors get so focused on chasing the highest dividend yields that they overlook the underlying fundamentals and valuations of the companies. A stock may have an enticing high yield, but if it's overvalued or the business is struggling, that dividend may not be sustainable. It's crucial to analyze the company's financial health, earnings growth, payout ratios, and other key metrics to ensure the dividend is well supported and has room to grow over time.
That's a great point about looking beyond just the headline yield number. What other factors should dividend investors consider?
Consistency is key when it comes to dividend investing. Look for companies with long track records of not only paying dividends, but steadily increasing their payouts from year to year. This shows a strong commitment to returning cash to shareholders. Also, pay attention to the dividend growth rate. How quickly the dividend has been growing. A lower yielding stock with high dividend growth can actually provide better returns over time than a high yielder with stagnant growth.
Are there any red flags that dividend investors should watch out for that could signal an unsustainable dividend?
Definitely. If a company is paying out the majority of its earnings or free cash flow as dividends, that could be a warning sign. This leaves little buffer if business conditions deteriorate. Declining revenues and earnings can also foreshadow a dividend cut, and be wary of excessively high yields. If it seems too good to be true, it often is. Yields significantly above the market average may indicate distress and an inability to maintain the payout. As always, diversification is important too. Overconcentration in any single stock or sector adds risk.
Great insights. Any final thoughts or advice for investors looking to implement a dividend strategy?
The key is to stay disciplined and focused on your long-term goals. Don't get caught up chasing the highest yield or trying to time the market. Invest in high-quality dividend growth companies. Keep your portfolio well-diversified, and let the power of compounding work in your favor over time. Reinvesting your dividends can have a huge impact on your total returns. With the right approach, dividend investing can be a powerful way to generate a growing income stream and build lasting wealth.
Thank you, Michael. Great advice for investors to keep in mind. Dividend investing can play an important role in a diversified portfolio, but it's crucial to be selective and disciplined in your approach. Appreciate you sharing your insights with us today. Now, let's shift our focus to a different kind of investment, a proposed $302 million financing plan from the city of Elk Grove, California, to develop a new zoo with the hopes of gaining approval from the city council on May 8th to get started. The Sacramento Zoo, which first opened in 1927, is looking to move to Elk Grove as its current facilities and land park no longer meet Association of Zoos and Aquariums guidelines. For more details on how Elk Grove plans to fund this ambitious project, we turn to our correspondent. So break this down for us. Where is all this money coming from?
Well, David, Elk Grove is planning to use a mix of funding sources to cover the estimated $302 million in zoo development costs. The biggest chunk, $93 million, will come from the city's cash on hand, including over $62 million from its general fund reserve. The city is also counting on $80 million in community partnerships, with the Sacramento Zoological Society pledging $50 million of that. About $15 million will come from development impact fees, and the remaining $114.5 million is expected to be raised through bond financing.
And how does the city plan to pay back those bonds? Are taxpayers going to be on the hook?
City officials say they have worked out a deal to split the annual bond repayments with the Sacramento Zoological Society. Of the $7.88 million in yearly debt service, the city plans to cover $5.3 million using revenue from things like casino taxes, a Costco development payoff, and other sources. The Zoological Society would be responsible for the other $2.5 million. Importantly, city finance officials emphasize that no tax increases will be needed.
This is certainly an ambitious undertaking for Elk Grove. What kind of economic impact is the city expecting the new zoo to generate?
Elk Grove has high hopes for the zoo to become a major attraction and economic engine. They're projecting initial yearly attendance of 50,000 people when it opens, a 70% increase from the current Sacramento Zoo's visitation numbers. The city estimates the zoo will generate $4 million in local sales tax revenue and over $9 million for the county and state. The construction phase is expected to create 2,400 jobs and $171 million in labor income. Once open, the zoo itself would employ about 176 people.
It sounds like there are still a few hurdles to clear, though, before construction can begin. What are the next steps?
The biggest hurdle is getting the green light from the Elk Grove City Council. They're set to vote on the financing plan on May 8th. If approved, the city wants to move quickly to hire a construction management firm to oversee the project. They're also hoping for some help from the state legislature. Senator Angelique Ashby is reportedly drafting a bill that would allow Elk Grove to bring on that management firm in a way that will help control costs and keep the project on schedule. As the city finance director said, time is certainly going to be money with an undertaking of this scale.
Certainly a development to watch in the Sacramento area. Thanks for that update. Shifting gears to the financial sector, the $35 billion deal for Capital One to buy Discover Financial Services remains on track. Discover's management noted that consumer loans are on the upswing, while credit card spending has been pressured by inflation. For more on this, we turn to our correspondent. What can you tell us about Discover's first quarter earnings?
Discover's CFO John Green said in the earnings call that card sales were down 1% compared to the prior year quarter. Sales slowed across categories, with the largest decline occurring in everyday purchases like supermarkets, gas, and wholesale clubs. While Discover continues to add new accounts, they are seeing card members spend less, particularly among lower-income households most impacted by inflation. Based on current trends, Discover expects sales to be flat to slightly negative this year.
Despite the slowdown in card sales, it seems Discover's total loans actually increased. What drove that growth?
That's right. Total loans were up 12% to $126.5 billion. Credit card loans specifically were 11% higher, reaching $99.4 billion. Discover's interim CEO Michael Shepard attributed this loan growth to what he called payment rate normalization. So even as consumers may be spending less on their cards due to inflation, the overall loan portfolio is still expanding.
And what about credit quality? Are there any concerns on that front as the economy slows?
Discover's overall net charge-off rate, which represents loans written off as uncollectible, was 4.9% in the March quarter. That's up from 4.1% at the end of 2022. For credit cards specifically, the net charge-off ratio climbed to 5.7% from 4.7% over that period. However, management said delinquencies have stabilized and they expect charge-offs to peak and plateau in mid to late 2024. They're now projecting a net charge-off range of 4.9% to 5.2% based on current delinquency trends.
Discover is also facing potential impacts from new regulations. What are the details there?
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has proposed a rule that would cap credit card late fees. Discover's CFO estimated that if implemented, this rule would reduce their pre-tax income by around $600 million on an annualized basis, or about 4% of revenues. So that's certainly a headwind they're monitoring closely.
Lastly, were there any bright spots in Discover's report? How did their other business lines perform?
Transactions processed on Discover's Pulse debit network were a bright spot, up 42% year over year. Their Discover network also saw transaction counts rise 4%. So while Discover card sales volume dipped slightly to $50.1 billion, there was solid growth in the other parts of their payments business. Overall, it seems Discover is navigating the challenging macro environment relatively well. The loan book is still growing and credit quality is holding up, but inflation is weighing on card spending. Investors appear to be taking the results in stride, with Discover shares trading about 2.4% higher following the earnings release.
Thanks for that closer look at Discover Financial's latest earnings as the company continues to await regulatory approval for its pending sale to Capital One. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Finance. We'll see you back here tomorrow.